Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is. The 7 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show. We are here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, streaming on the internet at WQAM.com or via your smartphone on the TuneIn Radio app or the Radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. You know, on a complete side note, like a little bit before the show this evening, our buddy engineer Jim Tree Crawford, he was showing me some clips like he found on his old mini disc player of Neil Rogers from, I don't know, circa 15, 20 years ago. Now, I used to listen to Neil Rogers religiously, like everyone did down here. But, you know, it's been probably, I don't know, a decade since I've heard the guy. Of course, he's, you know, since passed away. May he rest in peace. But, man, I used to listen to Neil every single midday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's been a while. And just hearing, like, a few five-minute clips of Neil Rogers was reminded just how good that guy was. I mean, my God. It's like you're in this profession, and you listen to a couple of vintage Neil Rogers segments, and you almost have to question why you're doing this for a living, because I know I'll never be as good as Neil. I mean, that's how good that guy was. Whether he was talking politics, or he was talking hockey, or he was making fun of, you know, the Hank Goldbergs at this radio station and all that, that dude was absolutely on form for so many years. It was cool kind of reminiscing with some of that. And I'm sure if Neil were still around on the airwaves today, he'd have fun ripping the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, man. You see this story that has been developing throughout the week about Byron Maxwell. So why was Byron Maxwell benched last week? And it did end up leading to a decent game played by Cordray Tankersley. I know the Dolphins are terrible, but that is a lot more on the offense than it is on the defense. And apparently the reason why, one of the reasons why Maxwell has been benched is that, this is from Armando Salguero, Dolphins coaches were also wondering because they called for him to be playing press man a good amount of the plays against the Jets, except Maxwell apparently decided to play different techniques on his own. Maybe it was because he thought he saw something. Maybe it was because he didn't want to let the receiver get behind him. Maybe it was because he was lacking confidence. That didn't change the fact that the coaching staff got a little hot because, well, if players are told to play one assignment and decide not to do it, that's a problem. I believe it's called insubordination, Salguero writes. Yet Byron Maxwell had said to Barry Jackson earlier this week that he didn't think his benching was warranted. Well, bro, if that's true, and this is not something that Dolphins coaches have confirmed on the record, right? Because that's just not something you do. But if there's any truth to this, that Maxwell has been told to play press man, and then he decides to line up 5 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards behind everybody because he's afraid of getting burned or whatever, but you're not filling your assignment, can you blame these guys for benching you? Can you really blame them? And this is now 2 years in a row with this guy. And yeah, when Maxwell was benched last season, he came back better and more motivated. Maybe that happens again this year. But you're talking about a 31-year-old man. You're talking about a guy who's been in this league nearly a decade. You shouldn't have to get benched once a season just to get motivated, just to do your job correctly. I think we're beyond that point. So this is one of the few areas you can really complain about on the defensive side of the football. And I know that, you know, the pass defense has not been as stellar as the run defense. Like, the Dolphins are so schizophrenic. Last year, they're 30th against the run. This year, they're top five against the run to start the season. And all of a sudden, it looks like they have turned one of their glaring weaknesses into one of their greatest strengths this year. And yet you've got other problems. So you fix the run defense, and now you can't score a point against New Orleans. You can't score a single point. And we'll hear from Dolphins head coach Adam Gase in a moment. First, I want to go to the phones. Let's talk to our friend Tracy in Coconut Creek. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, nothing much, Alex. Hey, Alex, the did you, you know, speaking of Neil Rogers, he used to have the a skit. You talk about what's going on with the Dolphins. He used to have a skit, if I don't know if you remember it, with Jimmy Johnson and Dan Marino.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy and Danny. Danny and Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, and he ripped everybody. There's certain people that when I hear them come on the radio and I like them, but I remember how Neil used to just rip them. He used to, oh, God.
Yeah, I've talked to people like you know, Josh Darrow, who still works with us for Kane stuff, but he was, you know, very prominent on the radio station as a day-to-day guy back then. And guys would say that, you know, you knew you made it when Neil Rogers was ripping you, that was like a rite of passage. Like, you worked at WQAM, and if Neil Rogers spent a few minutes just ripping you to shreds, I know it was insulting, man. I know it was embarrassing, but that was like when you made it, when Neil Rogers was ripping you, that was when you'd arrived.
Right, definitely, man. Great, great guy. I remember he used to, you know, and I'm going to get in my Canes point. He used to rip into a guy that works on another station now by the name of Josh also. And, you know, and just say, oh, man, I could tell he was here in the studio or whatever because whatever. But Neil was Neil, man. Miss him dearly.
Yep.
Hey, I didn't get to really listen in. Are they changing the Canes game?
They're not. Thank goodness. They confirmed like 3 o'clock this afternoon. They're going to play the game at 3:30 as scheduled. They're not worried about Tropical Storm Nate. They say it's veering off to the west. So they are going to play the game as scheduled. And I'm so thankful, Tracy, because, I mean, selfishly, I didn't want an 11 a.m. start time because then I'd have to start the pregame show at 7 o'clock in the morning. That'd be extremely early. But also, right. I didn't want the game, like, rescheduled or something, because who knows if they could even play it later in the year. So I'm so thankful they're playing it at 3:30.
Right. I thought they were either going to move it to noon or they were going to do a Friday night thing again. And I was like, no, let's just stick with it at 3:30 and kind of go from there. And, you know, my point, and listen, this is not the time, Donald, and I'm not a gloating guy at all. I'm a real humble, laid-back guy. But, and hopefully I don't have to eat my words come Sunday, but my buddy, Malik Rozier, that number 12 looks pretty good back there,
does.
Doesn't he?
He does. Very good.
You know, and I hear, like, Peter Reeves come on there, and on Peter's website, man, because, like, I follow recruiting, and he has a great website, he does, and he's a great interview. But he was one of these Nkosi Perry guys, Malik. He was on that Nkosi Perry, Rozier is not this, Rozier is not that. And all Rozier's come in and done is shut everybody up who didn't like him. And he made some plays. I'm not saying he's as good. But the plays that he makes for Mark Richt's offense, I think he's better suited than, this might be blasphemous, but Brad Kiyo.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I agree because Rozier has mobility, and Kaya had 0.0 mobility. And also, like, I see in Rozier an ability to complete passes as he's getting hit under pressure that I did not see from Brad Kaya. So he may not quite have the touch or the accuracy as Brad Kaya, but I think Rozier has also shown he's got some of that. But I think he's got more toughness and definitely more mobility than Kaya had. So yeah, I think to your point, he fits with what Mark Richt wants to do better than Kaya did.
Yeah, and under duress, as you're saying, when he's under duress, the guy makes passes. I remember in the West Virginia game when I went up to the bowl game, and Brad was just throwing everything high for the first quarter and a half.
Right.
And then he kind of settled in after Amon Richards made that catch. And you know, Rozier's accuracy, Donald, that pass, nobody could have thrown a better pass than he threw to Braxton Berrios in the back of the end zone against Duke.
That was perfect.
That one down to Amon Richards down the sidelines twice. another one to Berrios on the 3rd and 8 on that little slant route where Braxton went out at the 3-yard line. Those are accurate passes.
You're right. So, the only thing that I need to see from Malik is I need to see 4 quarters of that, right? Because in the in the Toledo game, and this is not all on him, right? Because it takes 11 guys to make an offense run. But in the Toledo game, the offense was pitiful for the 2nd quarter. And in the Duke game, the offense was stagnant in the 2nd and 3rd quarter. So I've seen, you know, and we'll take the Bethune-Cookman game out completely because that doesn't really matter. So, right. You know, since then, we've seen, you know, 5 out of 8 really good quarters from Rozier. But I'd like to see him put together more consistency over 4 quarters against Florida State.
Exactly. And you know what? As bad as we beat Duke, and as bad as, you know, you're still going to have those people. Well, it's Duke. Well, it's not the same Duke. Duke is a better team. And I think at the end of the year, Alex, it's going to play out that Duke is going to end up being a very good team. Maybe not a very good team, but a decent team.
They'll be like an eight, nine win team. Yeah.
So it's going to be a good victory on the road. And also, hey, they have a good coaching staff. To get a team like Duke to get 8 or 9 wins, you have to have a good coaching staff. And I think they made some adjustments in the 2nd and 3rd quarter that maybe took a little bit of time for Mark Richt also. Now, the play calling wasn't the best to me in certain parts. To Mark Richt and his coaching staff and Malik also in the offense to make adjustments. But once they hit their stride, almost like late in that Toledo game, I think that they'll be okay. I can't wait for this game Saturday, man. And I'm just glad. I'm just happy. And again, no matter how it turns out, I'm just happy to see a kid sit there, not transfer, not grumble, not do anything. People kind of not want him there, and he still is making his headway. It's kind of good. You don't see that anymore because a lot of people would have transferred, but he hung in there, and I think he's being rewarded for it, and we as Canes fans are being rewarded for it too.
Love it. Great phone call, Tracy.
No problem.
You know, I mentioned you know, my one on-the-field complaint with Malik is, and it's not really a complaint, it's just show it to me. Show it to me that you can be that good for 4 quarters because we've not seen that yet. But my other complaint with Rozier is, can you please just tell us the way you like your name to be pronounced? He's too like shy about that. It's weird, right? Where people used to swear to me that, no, it's Rozier. That's how you say it. And then after the Bethune-Cookman game, I talked to one of the media relation guys at Miami. He says, well, no, actually, it's Rozier is how you say it. And then Malik comes to the podium. We ask him, dude, how do you say your last name? He says, oh, however you guys want to say it, it's fine. Give me some conviction. Give me some of the Patrick Sertan. Although it took him like 10 years to figure out how to pronounce his name. If you remember Sertan, who used to be Sertain, one day just like he got really good. And then he said to the media, by the way, you all are butchering my name. It's Sertan. So I want Rozier or Rozier or whatever to give me a little bit of that. Tell me how you want me to pronounce your name. Because I will go through a show, 4 hours on the air, I will pronounce it 4 or 5 different ways in the same show. I'm just going to call him Young Malik. But he's not even that young. He's a junior. So, yeah, he's old Malik. I don't know what he is. Just Malik. We'll call him Malik. He's like Cher. He's got one name now. Let's talk to David. You're on WQAM. What's up, David?
Hey, Alex. I got a couple of questions for you. First one is concerning the Marlins. I know when that stadium was built, it was a cause that if he sold it before X amount of time, the city got some money. Do you know if he waited? And I'm willing to bet he did.
I think he did. Yeah, I think that it was. I think it was a few months ago. Was the expiration of that? I think he gets the full return.
So city got screwed again.
Okay. Of course. You think Jeffrey Loria is going to walk away without screwing over the city and taking as much money as possible? Of course not.
I wasn't sure, but that's why the deal didn't close until the day after the season ended. That's the first thing. The second thing I've got to say to you, I don't know whether or not we have been fooled by last year's Dolphins, and let me just explain to you why. These bookmakers in Vegas, I believe they know what they're doing, and do you know what the over and under was? Now, we won 10 games last year.
Uh-huh.
You know what the over and under was this year for the Dolphins?
How many?
7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it was 7.5 or right on the nose at 7.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that may have been too high, David. I think that may have been generous. We may be looking at a 5-win type of team here.
And you know what? Again, I don't like playing the results, but theoretically, we really should be 0-3 at this point. The guy misses a chippy, at the end of the game to win it.
Oh, and by the way, that kicker, it's a Younghoe Koo. He got fired today. He got cut today by the Chargers. I thought that was going to happen 2 weeks ago, but he got cut today.
And the last thing I've got to say, I've been a Hurricane fan forever. Get back to this team, and I hope I'm wrong, because they haven't played anybody. Even the game that got washed out was against a nobody. I'd like to think Duke is a little better, but Duke's a basketball school.
They're still solid, though. They're like Duke is a team. Like, they don't have any 4 or 5-star players, but they've got a lot of 5th-year, senior, 3-star type of guys. Very well-coached team. I came away, David, very impressed with what they did to Duke. I know that Duke is not Clemson. It's not even Notre Dame quality right now. But I think, to me, coming away with a 31-6 victory over Duke, finally I can feel like, okay, Miami has a good team. Now, does that good team, does that translate to a guaranteed win at Doak Campbell Stadium? No, you still have to earn every second of that. But I did come out of the Duke game thinking, okay, now I can rest assured that Miami is good.
I just wish that they would have scheduled in a first three games or nothing with Patsies. And the first game got rained out with the Hurricane. I just wish they played a little tougher schedule at the beginning. That's all. And I hope what I'm seeing right now is the real team, no matter who they're playing. I just need them to prove it.
Agreed. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And by the way, thank the texters. So yeah, the county does get the money back. The mayor said it on the Joe Rose Show. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Loria made so much money on that sale, he probably doesn't even care, right? Because would you have ever thought the Marlins would be worth more than $1 billion? So at that point, you make that much money back. Yeah, he'll write a check to the city and the county. So, okay, so at least you do get some of that money back. I thought it was wrong for the taxpayers to get completely screwed in that regard.
For that last caller, the Canes open up the next 2 seasons with LSU and UF.
Yeah, they've got legit contests to open up the seasons. Like, whenever people call me, it's usually the Gator fans and the FSU fans. They spy. I hate when people do this where they come in, like they call me pretending they're a Miami fan, but they're really a plant. Like, they're sitting right now at like Joe's Toothless Bar in Gainesville, prank calling my show, like, oh, Donna, I'm a huge Canes fan since 1930. I love the team. Oh, but I think Mark Richt is terrible. I think Malik Rozier sucks. Like, these spies will call in. And I have people call in that will say that, Miami, they open up their seasons with FAMU and Bethune-Cookman. Well, they're opening up upcoming seasons with LSU, Florida. They're opening up the 2021 season with Alabama. I mean, God, I know a lot can change over the next 4 years. Hopefully Nick Saban is comfortably retired by 2021. Can we all hope for that? Can we hope and pray that, like, Saban retires and then somehow, like, Larry Coker or Al Golden are coaching the Crimson Tide? How great would that be? Oh, Nick Saban, he retires in 2020. And since Saban made so much money, they can only afford Al Golden out. Like, oh, Alabama is bankrupt after paying Nick Saban's salary. Who can we afford? Get me Al Golden at minimum wage. Have him head coach our team. Now, that would be something. I'm hoping Nick Saban is off fishing somewhere in a swamp by 2021, and Al Golden is the one calling the plays for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Let's hope Alabama is not the same juggernaut in 2021 that they are today. We'll talk some hoops on the other side. One of my favorites, one of the all-time greats, Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He will join us next here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
For this hour, I'm going to go with my top 3 rivalry games in sports. My favorite. So I want you to chime in with yours, right? And I know that some of the South Florida rivalry games you have to choose from. Of course, this is inspired by Miami versus Florida State. It's going to be very high on the list for a lot of us. Dolphins-Jets. Although, again, with the way that the Jets and the Dolphins tend to alternate years of just being very, 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 very bad, you've not had the type of intensity in that rivalry that you've hoped for. I think same can be said for Heat-Knicks, right? The Knicks have been historically embarrassing for over a decade. So it's been hard to really have a rivalry there. But let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Talk some hoops with Ira Winderman. Back here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. It's an exciting week. Miami versus Florida State, weather pending. Hockey season starting this weekend. NBA very closely on the horizon as well. So we go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us. Ira, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Alex. Actually headed up to Brooklyn tonight. A couple of road games against the Nets on Thursday, against the Magic on Saturday. And with this new shortened NBA preseason, where there's just 6 preseason games, I don't want to overstate it and say every game matters, but the preseason games are far more meaningful before this season than they have been before some other seasons when it was a month-long preseason.
So have you seen that so far translating into more urgency on the court?
Yeah, I do, Alex. Even today when we went to practice at American Airlines Arena, the same starting group that he started on Sunday with Hassan Whiteside and James Johnson, Rodney Magruder, Dragic and Waiters, they were out with the starters' uniforms again. A lot of times coaches will say during the preseason they want to experiment, they want to see different groups. I think Eric Spoelstra really wants to see his 2 5-man units playing as units for as much time as possible. So I would not be surprised in at least 4 of the exhibitions if we see the regular starters. And I think what we're learning right now is it looks like Rodney Magruder will be the starting small forward, and it looks like James Johnson will be the starting power forward.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us. Ira, how could you see Bam Adebayo fitting into the rotation this year? I know he's a very impressive physical specimen. He says all the right things. He's been looking good on the court. What do you think his role is going to be?
You know, I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to take away sort of a, so to speak, curb his enthusiasm, but I just think when you look at those 2 5-man units they rolled out against Atlanta, I just gave you the starting 5. Then the second unit with Kelly Olynyk at center and Justice Winslow, power forward, and Josh Richardson, small forward, and Tyler Johnson, shooting guard or point guard, along with Wayne Ellington. That's 10 guys already. And Alex, you know, in an NBA game, you're lucky if you get to 10.
Right.
Rarely have Riley and Van Gundy and Spoelstra rolled out that many players on a regular basis. So I think Bam Adebayo is going to be sort of break open in case of emergency. Hassan Whiteside is injured. Hassan Whiteside is in foul trouble. He could go. He could have the kind of season where he goes from not playing to be a guy who's the starting center as a spot starter. Otherwise, I think his work comes in practice. Remember, 1 year removed from Kentucky, his time will come. The difference here is the Heat do not have first-round picks next June 2018 and 2021. So he's a very important part of the developmental process.
Ira, you'd mentioned the name Justice Winslow, and of course, anytime Eric Spoelstra is asked about him, he's beaming with positive, saying, hey, you guys don't realize how much he impacts the game, even outside of the jump shot that he has struggled with. Is it fair to defend him in that manner? And, of course, we haven't seen that much Justice Winslow because he barely played last year. But can he be a very impactful NBA player without developing that jump shot?
You know, Alex, I think the problem with that is we won't know till the regular season, and I'll tell you why. We know he had the shoulder surgery. He's out since last January. He's come back now. Teams, sort of like in the NFL, they don't do a lot of game planning in the preseason. They have their basic set defenses, which is basically guard your man, stay on your man. However, when the regular season starts and there are full scouting reports, that's when opposing coaches are going to go, don't go over the pick and roll with him. Don't go out beyond 15 feet with him. Let him shoot his shot. Then everything's going to change. Then the spacing on the offense changes. The spacing on that second unit changes. So what I need to do is I need to see Justice Winslow at his shooting level. I think he might be what he is. Of course, he's trying to upgrade. And then see how do opposing defenses play him. Because if they're not going to guard him and they're going to dare him to shoot, then either he makes shots or maybe he doesn't play. I don't think you get that read in the preseason. I think that's more of a regular season read.
Ira, the story about Dion Waiters passing on ankle surgery came out last week. How is that ankle?
You know what? The ankle is fine because, one, Dion is telling us it's fine, and two, Dion's contract is telling us it's fine. And what I mean by that is, Dion, we all know by now, has the bonus $1.1 million if he plays 70 or more games. He is not pulling himself out of any game this season. He has $1.1 million reasons not to. So he's looked fine in practice. He's obviously taken the extra treatment. He decided against the ankle surgery. He was a free agent. He got the $52 million deal when you add in all his incentives. So, look, I think he'll be out there. But, again, these are regular season questions. It's easy when they play an exhibition on Sunday. They've had 2 days off. They have another one on 3 days off, another one on Thursday. We'll start to see when there's those three games and five nights and the schedule gets busier. Is the ankle up to it? His ankle is definitely up to preseason minutes. But believe me, Deion Waiters is not going to be happy playing 22 minutes a game come the regular season. That's when we'll find out.
Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on WQAM. Ira, I'm curious, what sort of social media interactions, ask Ira questions, have you gotten from Heat fans over the past week since that news came out a week ago that Dwayne Wade is a Cleveland Cavalier? How has that reaction gone?
You know, it's really interesting because half of them write me to tell me to stop writing about Dwayne, which is kind of interesting. They take the time, so I find that amusing. And there's still a lot of bitterness because people, you know, people don't understand this. It's, being a sports fan is an unrequited love. It just is. The players are out for their contracts, for their families, for their futures, for all kinds of different things. Fans fall in love with players. That's our escape from life, so I understand that. But I honestly think the dynamic has changed right now. Because I think it really does turn some fan stomachs to have to see the pictures of Dwayne in the Cavaliers jersey, the Cavaliers practice jersey alongside LeBron James. It's like they're trying to create what the fans thought was their own.
Yeah.
That, okay, the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James magic, that is copyrighted. That is patented by the Miami Heat. You will see that nowhere else ever. Or maybe you'll see it this season with Cleveland. And I think some Heat fans are quietly and maybe not so quietly rooting against that magic coming again. They don't want to see those off the backboard alley-oop passes. They don't want to see the two of them out in the open court. Heat fans sort of feel that's us. That's what belongs to us. That's like Michael Cooper and Magic Johnson in transition. That's like McHale playing alongside Bird. That was supposed to be unique to South Florida and those four remarkable seasons. I think it's a really hard thing for fans down here to digest. And you know what? To digest. And you know what? I might have felt the same way if I would have seen Dan Marino throwing passes for the Minnesota Vikings that one year when he was debating his future. I can understand that also. Fans want their little piece of history that's their own. Apparently now that won't be the case.
Yeah, Ira, admittedly, my feelings toward Dwayne Wade in Cleveland are a little bit selfish and a little irrational because on the one hand, I didn't really want him back in Miami, but I definitely didn't want him in Cleveland. So it's like I don't want him, but I really don't want those guys to have him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he would have gone to Houston to play with his friend Chris Paul, or he would have gone to Oklahoma City, would have been perfect to play with Carmelo, it would have been a different way in a different situation. There wouldn't have been any rival team he's with. He wouldn't have been in the Eastern Conference. He wouldn't have been in the same conference as the Chicago Bulls team he left. It would have felt different. But again, that was Dwayne Wade's decision. One thing we're learning in all of sports, when you're a free agent, you can do whatever the heck you want. And what Dwayne wanted to do was play with one of his best friends. I mean, be honest, Alex, if you had a best friend in radio and he had a job opening somewhere and you had the chance, we all want to work around people who respect us and we respect. So I do understand it from that perspective.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us. And Ira, what did you make of LeVar Ball earlier this week pulling LaMelo out of high school? Now, of course, you always see players, you know, before the one-and-done rule, guys used to skip college. Sometimes guys still skip college to go play overseas. But skipping a year of high school?
You know, I think this is sort of the transition point of high school recruiting, where coaches used to come and promise everything, knowing as soon as they signed the kid, they could have the kid do whatever they want. Oh, you're not going to be the focus. You're not going to be that. Well, now, even in high school, LaMelo was not going to get the 50 shots that he got last season. There was a coaching change at his high school in California, and he told him that. I'm not so sure now that we might not see, not a lot, but some of this now, where a dad like LeVar Ball, when it comes to colleges, will go and say, hey, you know, John Calipari, not only do I want him to go to your school, but he has to get 20 shots a game. I don't want him buried like Bam Adebayo or something like that and to play a team game. And now the threat is real because fathers are pulling their kids from high school. Mm. I'm really curious if this starts that also now, where if a high school kid's father can dictate how many shots on that level, can he dictate it on the college level also when in theory you could just pull him out of college, wait 1 year, and put him in the NBA draft.
And I always love talking to this man. You can check out his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Check him out on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. And, of course, submit your questions to Ask Ira. Ira, thank you so much. And I know you're pumped for hockey season, and we're all pumped for basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a great time of the year. And even UM Florida State, I hope it goes on to schedule. Like you said, there is so much good stuff to talk about that I really am enjoying it. Thank you, Alex.
And just so you know, if you're just tuning in, I spoke with Ira earlier today before they did announce conclusively Miami-Florida State will happen as scheduled. So 3:30 p.m. Saturday, it will not be altered by the weather. And I said a couple of thank you prayers to any God who would listen after that announcement came out, because I didn't want to risk losing that game this season. I mean, where would they move it to? I mean, if they were going to move it to a different date, forget about it, right? You're already using an open week, the bye week that these teams had. So, yeah, you move it up to 11 a.m.? That wouldn't have been fun. So I'm so glad that, yeah, FSU officials confirmed, Miami Athletic Director Blake James confirmed this afternoon that game will be played 3:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon as scheduled. Breathe a sigh of relief, because I certainly did. And in honor of Miami versus Florida State, got a top three list coming up. Top three list coming up next. Casey Jones will join us at 8 o'clock. Former UM offensive lineman, former Canes center, UM Sports Hall of Famer. He's my pregame partner. We'll talk Miami-Florida State with KC at 8 o'clock tonight. But coming up next, I will give you my top three favorite rivalries, sports rivalries. And, okay, some of this is a nod to the classics, a nod to growing up. Others of these are a little bit more in the moment, because there is one rivalry that I did grow up loving that I excluded from my top three list because I would like to see it gain a little bit more steam at the moment. And it's just not there for me right now. So this wasn't easy. It was not easy. We already have people texting in their top three rivalries. I will give you mine next here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.